Only Vimes saw the look Lady Ramkin flashed at him. Lord Earl stubbed out his cigar.
They just move in and take over, and work away like ants all the time. Real people should be getting some sleep. It's not natural.
Vimes' mind circled the comment and compared it to the earlier one about a decent day's work.
"Well, one of them won't be working so hard," said Lady Omnius. "My maid said one of them was found in the river this morning. Probably some tribal war or something."
"Huh! Just start, anyway," said Lord Earl, laughing. "Not that anyone will notice, one more or less."
Vimes smiled brightly. There was a wine bottle near his hand, despite Willikin's tactful best efforts to remove it. The neck looked invitingly grippable. He was aware of eyes on him. He looked across the table into the face of a man who was watching him intently, and whose last contribution to the conversation had been, "Could you be so kind as to pass me the seasonings, Captain?" There was nothing remarkable about the face except for the gaze, which was absolutely calm and mildly amused. It was Dr. Cruce's. Vimes had the strong impression that his thoughts were being read.
"Samuel!"
Vimes' hand stopped halfway to the bottle. Willikins was standing next to her ladyship.
"Apparently there's a young man at the door asking for you," said Lady Ramkin. "A Corporal Carrot."
"Gosh, this is exciting," said Lord Eol. "Has she come to arrest us, do you think?"
said Vimes. Lord Eol nudged his partner.
"I expect that somewhere a crime is being committed," he said.
"Yes," said Vimes. "Quite close, I think." Carrot was shown in, with his helmet under his arm at a respectful angle. He gazed at the select company, licked his lips nervously, and saluted. Everyone was looking at him. It was hard not to notice Carrot in a room. There were bigger people than him in the city. He didn't loom. He just seemed, without trying, to distort things around him. Everything became background to Corporal Carrot.
"At ease, Corporal," said Vimes.
"What's up? I mean," he added quickly, knowing Carrot's erratic approach to colourful language, "what is the reason for you being here at this time?"
"Got something to show you, sir. Sir, I think it's from the assassin."
"We'll just go and talk about it outside, shall we?" said Vimes.
Dr. Cruces hadn't twitched a muscle. Lord Eol sat back.
"Well, I must say I'm impressed," he said. "I'd always thought you watchmen were a pretty ineffective lot, but I see you're pursuing your duty at all times. Always on the alert for the criminal mind, eh?"
"Oh, yes," said Vimes. "The criminal mind, yes." The cooler air of the ancestral hallway came as a blessing. He leaned against the wall and squinted at the card.
"Gone."
"You know you said you saw something in the courtyard," Carrot began.
"What's a gun?"
"Maybe something wasn't in the Assassin's Museum, and they put this sign on it," said Carrot. "You know, like, removed for cleaning. They do that in museums."
"No, I shouldn't think... What do you know about museums, anyway?"
"Oh, well, sir," said Carrot, "I sometimes visit them on my day off. The one in the university, of course, and Lord Vetinari lets me look around the old palace one, and then there's the guild ones, they generally let me in if I ask nicely, and there's the Dwarf Museum off Rhyme Street."
"Is there?" said Vimes, interested despite himself. He'd walked along Rhyme Street 1,000 times.
"Yes, sir, just up Whirligig Alley."
"Fancy that. What's in it?"
"Many interesting examples of dwarf bread, sir."
Vimes thought about this for a moment.
"That's not important right now," he said. "This isn't how you spell gone, anyway."
"Yes, it is, sir," said Carrot.
"I mean, it's not how gone is normally spelt."
He flicked the card back and forth in his fingers.
"A man'd have to be a fool to break into the Assassin's Guild," he said.
"Yes, sir."
The anger had burned away the fumes. Once again he felt, no, not the thrill, that wasn't the right word, the sense of something. He still wasn't sure what it was, but it was there, waiting for him.
"Samuel Vimes, what's going on?"
Lady Ramkin shut the dining room door behind her.
"I was watching you," she said. "You were being very rude, Sam."
"I was trying not to be."
"Lord Earl is a very old friend."
"Is he?"
"Well, I've known him a long time. I can't stand the man, actually, but you were making him look foolish."
"He was making himself look foolish. I was merely helping."
"'But I've often heard you being rude about dwarfs and trolls.'
"'That's different. I've got a right. That idiot wouldn't know a troll if it walked over him.'
"'Oh, he would know if a troll walked over him,' said Carrot helpfully. "'Some of them weigh as much as—' "'What's so important anyway?' said Lady Ramkin.
"'We're looking for whoever killed Chubby,' said Vimes.
Lady Ramkin's expression changed instantly.
"'Oh, that's different, of course,' she said. "'People like that should be publicly flogged.'
"'Why did I say that?' thought Vimes. "'Maybe because it's true. The gone goes missing. Next minute there's a little dwarf artificer thrown into the river with a nasty draught where his chest should be. They're linked. Now all I have to do is find the links.'
"'Carrot, can you come back with me to Hammerhocks?'
"'Yes, Captain, why?'
"'I want to see inside that workshop, and this time I've got a dwarf with me.'
"'More than that,' he added, "'I've got Corporal Carrot.' "'Everyone likes Corporal Carrot.' Vimes listened while the conversation droned on in dwarfish. Carrot seemed to be winning, but it was a near thing. The clan was giving in not because of reason or in obedience to the law, but because, well, because it was Carrot who was asking. Finally, the corporal looked up. He was sitting on a dwarf's stool, so his knees practically framed his head.
"'You have to understand, you see, that a dwarf's workshop is very important.'
"'Right,' said Vimes. "'I understand.
And, you are bigger.'
"'Sorry?
A bigger. Bigger than a dwarf.
Ah.
The inside of a dwarf's workshop is like, well, it's like the inside of his clothes, if you know what I mean. They say you can look, if I'm with you, but you mustn't touch anything. They're not very happy about this, Captain.
A dwarf who was possibly Mrs. Hammerhock produced a bunch of keys.
"'I've always got on well with dwarfs,' said Vimes.
"'They're not happy, sir. They don't think we'll do any good.'
"'We'll do our best.'
"'I didn't translate that properly. They don't think we're any good. They don't mean to be offensive, sir. They just don't think we'll be allowed to get anywhere, sir.'
"'Ow!'
"'Sorry about that, Captain,' said Carrot, who was walking like an inverted L. "'After you, mind your head on the... Ow!' "'Perhaps it'd be best if you sat down and I'll look around.'
The workshop was long and, of course, low, with another small door at the far end. There was a big workbench under a skylight. On the opposite wall was a forge and a tool rack and a hole. A chunk of plaster had fallen away a few feet above the ground, and cracks radiated away from the shattered brickwork underneath. Vimes pinched the bridge of his nose. He hadn't found time to sleep today. That was another thing. He'd have to get used to sleeping when it was dark. He couldn't remember when he'd last slept at night. He sniffed.
"'I can smell fireworks,' he said.
"'Could be from the forge,' said Carrot. "'Anyway, trolls and dwarfs have been letting fireworks off all over the city.'
Vimes nodded.
"'All right,' he said. "'So what could we see?'
"'Someone thumped the wall pretty hard just here,' said Carrot.
"'Could have happened at any time,' said Vimes.
"'No, sir, because there's the plaster dust underneath, and a dwarf always keeps his workshop clean.'
"'Really?'
There were various weapons, some of them half-finished, on racks by the bench. Vimes picked up most of a crossbow.
"'He did good work,' he said. "'Very good at mechanisms.'
"'Well known for it,' said Carrot, poking around aimlessly on the bench. "'A very delicate hand. He made musical boxes for a hobby. Could never resist a mechanical challenge.'
What are we looking for, actually, sir?
Not sure. Now, this is good.
It was a war axe, and so heavy that Vimes's arm sagged. Intricate etched lines covered the blade. It must have represented weeks of work.
Not your actual Saturday night special, eh?
Oh, no, said Carrot. That's a burial weapon.
I should think it is.
I mean, it's made to be buried with a dwarf. Every dwarf is buried with a weapon, you know, to take with him to, well, wherever he's going.
But it's fine workmanship, and it's got an edge like, oh!
Vimes sucked his finger.
Like a razor.
Carrot looked shocked.
Of course. It'd be no good him facing them with an inferior weapon.
What them are you talking about?
Anything bad he encounters on his journey after death, said Carrot, a shade awkwardly.
Ah. Vimes hesitated.
This was an area in which he did not feel comfortable.
"'It's an ancient tradition,' said Carrot. "'I thought dwarfs didn't believe in devils and demons and stuff like that. "'That's true, but we're not sure if they know.' "'Oh.' "'Vimes laid down the axe and picked up something else from the work rack. "'It was a knight in armour about 9 inches high. "'There was a key in his back. "'He turned it and then nearly dropped the thing when the figure's legs started to move. "'He put it down and it began to march stiffly across the floor, waving its sword. "'Moves a bit like Colon, doesn't it?' said Vimes. Clockwork. It's the coming thing, said Carrot. Mr. Hammerhock was good at that. Vimes nodded. We're looking for anything that shouldn't be here, he said, or something that should be and isn't. Is there anything missing?
Hard to say, sir. It isn't here.
What? Anything that's missing, sir, said Carrot, conscientiously. I mean, said Vimes patiently, anything not here which you'd expect to find.
Well, he's got... He had all the usual tools, sir. Nice ones, too. Shame, really.
What is?
They'll be melted down, of course.
Vimes stared at the neat racks of hammers and files.
Why, can't some other dwarf use them?
What? Use another dwarf's actual tools? Carrot's mouth twisted in distaste, as though someone had suggested he wear Corporal Nobbs's old shorts.
Oh, no. That's not right. I mean, they're... Part of him, I mean, someone else using them after he's used them all these years? I mean, ugh.
Really? The clockwork soldier marched under the bench.
It'd feel wrong, said Carrot. Ugh, yucky.
Oh, Vimes stood up. Captain, ow!
Mind your head, sorry.
Rubbing his head with one hand, Vimes used the other to examine the hole in the plaster.
There's something in here. He said, pass me one of those chisels.
There was silence.
A chisel, please. If it makes you feel any better, we are trying to find out who killed Mr. Hammerhock. All right.
Carrot picked one up, but with considerable reluctance.
This is Mr. Hammerhock's chisel, this is, he said, reproachfully.
Corporal Carrot, will you stop being a dwarf for 2 seconds? You're a guard, and give me the damn chisel. It's been a long day, thank you. Vimes prized at the brickwork, and a rough disc of lead dropped into his hand.
"'Slingshot?' said Carrot.
"'No room in here,' said Vimes. "'Anyway, how the hell could it get this far into the wall?' He slipped the disc into his pocket. "'That seems about it, then,' he said, straightening up. "'We'd better... Ow! Ugh! Fish out that clockwork soldier, will you? Better leave the place tidy.'
Carrot scrabbled in the darkness under the bench. There was a rustling noise. "'There's a piece of paper under here, sir.'
Carrot emerged, waving a small yellowing sheet. Vimes squinted at it.
"'Looks like nonsense to me,' he said eventually. "'It's not dwarfish, I know that, but these symbols, these things I've seen before, or something like them.'
He passed the paper back to Carrot. "'What can you make of it?'
Carrot frowned. "'I could make a hat,' he said, "'or a boat, or a sort of chrysanthemum.'
"'I mean the symbols, these symbols, just here.'
"'Oh, dunno, Captain. They do look familiar, though, sort of like alchemists' writing.'
"'Oh, no.' Vimes put his hands over his eyes. "'Not the bloody alchemists. Oh, no, not that bloody gang of mad firework merchants. I can take the assassins, but not those idiots. No, please. What time is it?'
Carrot glanced at the hourglass on his belt.
"'About... 11:30, Captain. Then I'm off to bed. Those clowns can wait until tomorrow. You could make me a happy man by telling me that this paper belonged to Hammerhock.
Doubt it, sir.
Me too. Come on, let's go out through the back door.
Carrot squeezed through.
Mind your head, sir.
Vimes, almost on his knees, stopped and stared at the doorframe.
Well, Corporal, he said eventually, we know it wasn't a troll that did it, don't we? Two reasons. One, a troll couldn't get through this door. It's dwarf-sized.
"'What's the other reason, sir?'
Vimes carefully pulled something off a splinter on the low door lintel. "'The other reason, Carrot, is that trolls don't have hair.'
The couple of strands that had been caught in the grain of the beam were red and long. Someone had left them there inadvertently, someone tall, taller than a dwarf, anyway. Vimes peered at them. They looked more like threads than hair, fine red threads. Oh well, a clue was a clue.
He carefully folded them up in a scrap of paper borrowed from Carrot's notebook and handed them to the corporal.
Here, keep this safe. They crawled out into the night. There was a narrow plank walkway attached to the walls, and beyond that was the river. Vimes straightened up carefully.
I don't like this, Carrot, he said. There's something bad underneath all this.
Carrot looked down.
I mean, there are hidden things happening, said Vimes patiently.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to the yard.
They proceeded to the brass bridge quite slowly, because Carrot cheerfully acknowledged everyone they met. Hard-edged ruffians whose normal response to a remark from a watchman would be genteelly paraphrased by a string of symbols generally found on the top row of a typewriter's keyboard would actually smile awkwardly and mumble something harmless in response to his hearty, "Good evening, Masher. Mind how you go." Vimes stopped halfway across the bridge to light his cigar, striking a match on one of the ornamental hippos. Then he looked down into the turbid waters.
Carrot?
Yes, Captain?
Do you think there's such a thing as the criminal mind?
Carrot almost audibly tried to work this out.
What, you mean like Mr. Cut-Me-Own-Throat Dibbler, sir?
He's not a criminal.
You have eaten one of his pies, sir.
I mean, yes, but he's just geographically divergent in the financial hemisphere.
Sir?
I mean, he just disagrees with other people about the position of things, like money. He thinks it should all be in his pocket. No, I meant...
Vimes closed his eyes and thought about cigar smoke and flowing drink and laconic voices. There were people who'd steal money from people, fair enough. That was just theft. But there were people who, with one easy word, would steal the humanity from people. That was something else. The point was, well, he didn't like dwarfs and trolls, but he didn't like anyone very much. The point was that... he moved in their company every day, and he had a right to dislike them. The point was that no fat idiot had the right to say things like that. He stared at the water. One of the piles of the bridge was right below him. The Ankh sucked and gurgled around it. Debris, bulks of timber, branches, rubbish had piled up in a sort of sordid floating island. There was even fungus growing on it. What he could do with right now was a bottle of Bear Huggers. The world swam into focus when you looked at it through the bottom of a bottle. Something else swam into focus. Doctrine of signatures, thought Vimes. That's what the herbalists call it. It's like the gods put a use me label on plants. If a plant looks like a part of the body, it's good for ailments peculiar to that part. There's teethwort for teeth, spleenwort for spleens, eyebright for eyes. There's even a toadstool called Phallus impudicus. And I don't know what that's for, but Nobby is a big man for mushroom omelettes. Now, either that fungus down there is exactly the medicine for hands, or... Vimes sighed. Carrot, can you go and get a boat hook, please? Carrot followed his gaze. Just to the left of that log, Carrot.
Oh, no!
I'm afraid so. Haul it out, find out who he was, make out a report for Sergeant Colon.
The corpse was a clown. Once Carrot had climbed down the pile and moved the debris aside, he floated face up, a big sad grin painted on his face.
He's dead.
Catching, isn't it?
Vimes looked at the grinning corpse. Don't investigate, keep out of it. Leave it to the assassins and Bloody Quirk. These are your orders.
Corporal Carrot?
Sir?
These are your orders. Well, damn that. What did Vetinari think he was? Some kind of clockwork soldier? We're going to find out what's been going on here.
Yes, sir.
Whatever else happens, we're going to find out.
The River Ankh is probably the only river in the universe on which the investigators can chalk the outline of the corpse.
Dear Sergeant Colon, I hope you are well. The weather is fine. This is a corpse, who we fished out of the river last night, but we don't know who he is, except he is a member of the Fool's Guild called Beano. He has been seriously hit on the back of the head and has been stuck under the bridge for some time. He is not a pretty sight. Captain Vimes says to find out things. He says he thinks it is mixed up with the murder of Mr. Hammerhock. He says talk to the fools. He says do it. Also, please find attached piece of paper. Captain Vimes says, try it out on the alchemists.
Sergeant Colon stopped reading for a while to curse all alchemists.
"Because it is puzzling evidence. Hoping this finds you in good health, yours faithfully, Carrot
Iron Founderson, CPL. The sergeant scratched his head. What the hell did that all mean? Just after breakfast, a couple of senior jesters from the Fool's Guild had come in to pick up the corpse. Corpses in the river. Well, there was nothing very unusual about that. But it wasn't the way clowns died, usually. After all, what did a clown have that was worth stealing? What sort of a danger was a clown? As for the alchemists, he was blowed if he was... Of course, he didn't have to. He looked up at the recruits. They had to be good for something.
Cuddy and Detritus don't salute. I've got a little job for you. Just take this piece of paper to the Alchemist's Guild, all right? And ask one of the loonies to tell you what he makes of it.
Where's the Alchemist's Guild, Sergeant?
Said Cuddy.
In the Street of Alchemists, of course, said Colon. At the moment. But I should run if I were you.
The Alchemist's Guild is opposite the Gambler's Guild, usually. Sometimes it's above it, or below it, or falling in bits around it. The gamblers are occasionally asked why they continue to maintain an establishment opposite a guild which accidentally blows up its guild hall every few months. And they say, "Did you read the sign on the door when you came in?" The troll and the dwarf walked towards it, occasionally barging into each other by deliberate accident.
"Anyway, you so clever, he gave paper to me."
"Huh, can you read it then, can you?"
"No, I tell you to read it. They're called delegation."
"Huh, can't read, can't count, stupid troll."
"Not stupid."
"Huh, yes, everyone knows trolls can't even count up to 4.
In fact, trolls traditionally count like this. 1, 2, 3, many. And people assume this means that they can have no grasp of higher numbers. They don't realise that many can be a number. As in, 1, 2, 3, many. Many, 1, many, 2, many, 3, many, many. Many, many, 1, many, many, 2, many, many, 3, many, many, many. Many, 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 1, many, 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 2, many, 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 3. Lots.
"Eater of rats!
How many fingers am I holding up? You tell me, Mr. Clever Rocks in the Head."
"Many,"
Detritus hazarded.
"Ha ha ha, no 5. You'll be in big trouble on payday. Sergeant Colon'll say, stupid troll, he won't know how many dollars I give him. He he he, how come you read the notice about joining the watch anyway? Got someone to read it to you?"
"How come you read notice? Get someone to hold you up?"
They walked into the door of the Alchemist's Guild.
"I knock. My job."
"I'll knock."
When Mr. Sendivoge, the guild secretary, opened the door, it was to find a dwarf hanging on the knocker and being swung up and down by a troll. He adjusted his crash helmet.
"Yes,"
he said. Cuddy let go. Detritus's massive brows knitted.
You loony bastard. What you make of this?" he said.
Sendivoge stared from Detritus to the paper. Cuddy was struggling to get around the troll, who was almost completely blocking the doorway.
"What you going to call him that for?"
"Sergeant Colon, he said."
"I could make a hat out of it," said Sendivoge, "or a string of dollies, if I could get some scissors."
"What my colleague means, sir, is can you help us in our inquiries re the writing on this alleged piece of paper here?"
said Cuddy.
"That bloody hurt!"
Sendivoge peered at him.
"Are you watchmen?" he said.
"I am Lance Constable Cuddy, and this," said Cuddy, gesturing upwards, "is Lance trying to be Constable Detritus. Don't salute—" "Oh!"
There was a thump, and Detritus slumped sideways.
"Suicide squad, is he?" said the alchemist.
"He'll come round in a minute," said Cuddy. "It's the saluting. It's too much for him. You know trolls."
Sendivoge shrugged and stared at the writing.
"Looks familiar," he said. "Seen it somewhere before. Here, you're a dwarf, aren't you? It's the nose, isn't it? Said Cuddy. It always gives me away. Well, I'm sure we always try to be of help to the community, said Sendivoge. Do come in.
Cuddy's steel-tipped boots kicked Detritus back into semi-sensibility, and he lumbered after them.
Why the crash helmet, mister?
Said Cuddy, as they walked along the corridor. All around them was the sound of hammering. The guild was usually being rebuilt. Sendivoge rolled his eyes.
Balls, he said. Billiard balls, in fact. I knew a man who played like that, said Cuddy. Oh, no. Mr. Silverfish is a good shot. That tends rather to be the problem, in fact.
Cuddy looked at the crash helmet again.
It's the ivory, you see.
Ah, said Cuddy, not seeing.
Elephants? Ivory without elephants. Transmuted ivory. Sound commercial venture. I thought you were working on gold. Ah, yes, of course. You people know all about gold, said Sendivoge.
Oh, yes, said Cuddy, reflecting on the phrase, you people.
The gold, said Sendivoge, thoughtfully, is turning out to be a bit tricky. How long have you been trying? 300 years. That's a long time. But we've been working on the ivory for only a week, and it's going very well, said the alchemist quickly, except for some side effects which we'll doubtless soon be able to sort out.
He pushed open a door. It was a large room, heavily outfitted with the usual badly ventilated furnaces, rows of bubbling crucibles, and one stuffed alligator. Things floated in jars. The air smelled of a limited life expectancy. A lot of equipment had been moved away, however, to make room for a billiard table. Half a dozen alchemists were standing around it in the manner of men poised to run.
"It's the third this week," said Sendivoge gloomily.
He nodded to a figure bent over a queue.
"Mr. Silverfish?" he began.
"Quiet! Game on!" said the head alchemist, squinting at the white ball.
Sendivoge glanced at the score rail.
21 points, he said. "My word, perhaps we're adding just the right amount of camphor to the nitrocellulose after all."
There was a click. The cue ball rolled away, bounced off the cushion, and then accelerated. White smoke poured off it as it bore down on an innocent cluster of red balls. Silverfish shook his head.
"Unstable," he said. "Everybody down."
Everyone in the room ducked, except for the two watchmen, one of whom was in a sense pre-ducked, and the other of whom was several minutes behind events. The black ball took off on a column of flame, whiffled past Detritus's face, trailing black smoke, and then shattered a window. The green ball was staying in one spot, but spinning furiously. The other balls cannoned back and forth, occasionally bursting into flame, or caroming off the walls. A red one hit Detritus between the eyes, curved back onto the table, holed itself in the middle pocket, and then blew up. There was silence, except for the occasional bout of coughing. Silverfish appeared through the oily smoke, and with a shaking hand moved the score point one notch with the burning end of his cue.
"One," he said. "Oh, well, back to the crucible. Someone order another billiard table."